ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 चैप्टर 1 चैप्टर एंटाइटल्ड द एडवेंट ऑफ लॉर्ड कृष्णा इंट्रोडक्शन टेक्स्ट नंबर 52। एवं विमृश्यतं पापं यावद् आत्मनि दर्शनं पूजयाम आसवै शौरिर् बहुमान पुरस्सरम्। ट्रांसलेशन। आफ्टर थस कंसिडरिंग द मैटर as far as his knowledge would allow, Vasudev submitted his proposal to the sinful Kamsa with great respect. Text number 53. Prasanna vadanam bojo nishamsham nirapatrapam manasaduyamanena vihasan idam abravit. Translation. Vasudev's mind was full of anxiety because his wife was facing danger. But in order to please the cruel, shameless and sinful Kamsa, he externally smiled and spoke to him as follows. Purport. Sometimes one must act duplicitously in a dangerous position as Vasudev did to save his wife. The material world is complicated, and to execute one's duties, one cannot avoid adopting such diplomacy. Vasudev did everything possible to save his wife for the sake of begetting Krishna. This indicates that one may act duplicitously for the purpose of saving Krishna and his interests. According to the arrangement already foretold, Krishna was to appear through Vasudev and Devaki to kill Kamsa. Vasudev therefore had to do everything to save the situation. Although all the events were pre-arranged by Krishna, a devotee must try his best to serve the purpose of Krishna. Krishna himself is all-powerful. But it is not that a devotee should therefore sit idly and leave everything to him. This instruction is also found in Bhagavad Gita. Although Krishna was doing everything for Arjuna, Arjuna never sat down idly as a non-violent gentleman. Rather, he tried his best to fight the battle and be victorious. Seek the blessings of the assembled devotees before attempting to speak Srimad Bhagavatam, especially Sri Ekalavya Prabhu, Sri Gaurang Prabhu and others. So today, in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, we are reading that how Kamsa was about to kill Devaki. Vasudev, in order to actually save Devaki, he tried to pacify Kamsa by speaking different philosophies, by speaking about the philosophy of karma, how everyone has to die and nobody can change the destiny. But although Vasudev tried to preach Kamsa in order to save Devaki, but Kamsa was actually neither pacified nor terrified by the instructions given by Vasudev. And still, Kamsa was actually determined to kill Devaki. So at this time, it is explained that Shukadeva Goswami is speaking this verse about what actually Vasudev is going through. Shukadeva Goswami says, after thus considering the matter, as far as his intelligence would allow, Vasudev submitted his proposal to the sinful Kamsa with great respect. So Vasudev, he was thinking that since Kamsa is actually determined to kill Devaki. So in order to save Devaki, Vasudev actually thought, he wanted to actually promise Kamsa that the only way by which I can save Devaki is that if I promise Kamsa that I will bring all the children who will take birth in the future immediately after their birth, then Kamsa would be pacified, at least he would spare Devaki. Because the immediate requirement for to actually was to save Devaki so that actually Krishna can appear in the future. So thinking in that way, Vasudeva is actually going to make this proposal to Kamsa. So it is explained in this verse, evam vimrushyatam papam. After considering this matter as far as his intelligence would allow. So here we see that Vasudev is not making this decision blindly, but he is actually, he thought for a while and then he contemplated, and then after that he is actually making this decision. So we'll try to initially speak on this particular topic of using one's intelligence. So today being the disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami, so we'll start something from the nectar of devotion. So in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rupa Goswami says about the qualification for devotional service. He says the qualification for devotional service is that one has to have some taste or attraction for devotional service. Then he says, actually, like sometimes people have the conception that those people who are actually intelligent and those who are maybe good in logic, those who can understand philosophy, maybe that is the qualification for devotional service. One may think like that. But in Rupa Goswami is saying the only qualification for devotional service is some taste or attraction for devotional service. And then, in fact, Jiva Goswami comments on this verse and then he says, this taste especially refers to attraction for scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, etc. But Prabhupada writes that in the second chapter of the Nectar of Devotion, that those who are attracted to scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, they can more easily perform devotional service. And then after making this statement, that the qualification for devotional service is taste, then he actually further emphasizes by saying that logic is actually not the qualification for devotional service. Somebody may be expert in logic, but that's not the qualification for devotional service. He says, logic without taste or attraction for devotional service, logic without taste cannot give understanding of spiritual subject matters. But logic with taste can give understanding for understanding of the spiritual subject matters. So he is actually making it very clear that logic is not the qualification, but the main qualification is some taste or attraction. But although he makes this in the beginning, but later when he describes the three kinds of devotees, Kanishtha Adhikari, Madhyama Adhikari and Uttama Adhikari, when he describes Uttama Adhikari, he says, Shastre Yuktau Cha Nipunau Sarvata Drida Nishchaya. One of the qualities of an Uttama Adhikari is Shastre Yukto. He is very well versed in the scriptures. And Nipuno means he is very good in logic. So in the beginning, he actually condemned logic by saying that logic is not the qualification for devotional service. But later when he is actually describing the Uttama Adhikari, he says that logic is actually one of the... Uttama Adhikari is very good in logic and reasoning. There again, I think Vishnu Chakravarti, Jiva Goswami, one of them comment. He says here the word logic means... Logic is here, it refers to that which follows the scriptural statements. It does not mean dry logic. Here logic actually refers to logic that follows the statements of the scriptures. So Uttama Adhikari is one of the qualities that is very good in putting forward logic based on the scriptures. So we see again the same point is emphasized in another purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the fourth canto, when Maitreya Rishi describes the qualities of Prithu Maharaj. In one verse he says, Brihaspatir Brahmavade. Prithu Maharaj was equal to Brihaspati in spiritual knowledge. So there Srila Prabhupada says, Brihaspati is actually the guru of the demigods. And Brihaspati is also a great logician. And then he says that Prithu Maharaj, we must note that Prithu Maharaj, although he was a great devotee, fixed in the devotional service of the Lord, although he was constantly engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, but he could also defeat all kinds of deviant philosophies by his profound knowledge of the scriptures. And then Srila Prabhupada says that we should learn from Prithu Maharaj that a devotee should not only be fixed in the devotional service of the Lord, but one must also be prepared to argue with all logic and philosophy and defeat the deviant philosophies. So here, this is very important to note, because many times people think that those people who take to Krishna consciousness, they blindly follow something. They're not supposed to use their intelligence. They have to actually blindly follow the scriptures or what the superiors say. But then here it is mentioned that using logic based on the scriptures is actually one of the qualities of a devotee. In fact, even in the Bhagavad Gita 13th chapter, when Krishna says, Rishibir Bahuda Gitam Chandobir Vividai Pratak Brahma Sutra Padais Chaiva Hetu Madbir Vinishchitai. Like Krishna said in the previous verse, that I will describe in brief about the field of activities, about the constituent of the field of activity, and what is the origin, and its influences, etc. But if you want to know in great detail, you must consult the scriptures written by the sadhus, Rishibir. You must consult the scriptures written by the sages, like Parashar Muni, etc. And you must consult the Vedanta Sutra. So there he says, Hetu Madbir Vinishchitai. He says that the same philosophy is described in great detail by the logical and very decisive words of the Vedanta Sutra. Hetu Madbir Vinishchitai. Vinishchitai means Vishesha Rupena Nishchitai. That in the Vedanta Sutra, the same thing is described in great detail with decisive logic, with logic and very decisive words. So again we see that using intelligence using intelligence to make a decision is not condemned in the scriptures. In fact, one is supposed to use one's discriminative power before making a decision. But at the same time, it is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Tashraddha Dana Munayo Jnana Vairagya Yuktaya. That it is said, one has to be not only thoughtful, one has to be also faithful. So the qualification for devotional service is mentioned in this particular verse. So two of the qualifications which are mentioned is Shraddha Dana and Munayo. One has to be thoughtful and faithful. So if a person is only thoughtful, but if he is not faithful, then one may actually end up in speculation. One may end up speculating about the spiritual subject matters. And if a person is only faithful, and if he is not thoughtful, then when some difficulties arise, then one may get carried away. One might, because of those difficulties, one might stop practicing devotional service, or he might be bewildered. So both the things are important. One has to be thoughtful and faithful. In fact, in the second verse of the 10th canto, when Parishit Maharaj says, Yadoshcha Dharmashilasya Nitaram Muni Sattama. He's saying that, oh Shukdev Goswami, you are the, he is addressing Shukdev Goswami by the word Muni Sattama. Muni Sattama means one who is best among all the sages who have knowledge of the scriptures, and one who is best among all the devotees. So Parishit Maharaj is telling that you are actually the best among all the sages, and you are also the chief among all the devotees. So therefore you please narrate the pastimes of Lord Krishna. So we see again and again that these are the qualities of the devotee, that is not only thoughtful but is also faithful. Even in the second canto, 8th chapter, when Parishit, the chapter is entitled Questions by Maharaj Parikshit. In the chapter, Maharaj Parikshit puts forward so many questions. In fact, one of the questions which Maharaj Parikshit puts forward is that he asks about the fall down of a jiva. How does the living entity who is completely spiritual, how does he fall down from the spiritual platform? How does he come in contact with the material modes? In fact, this question is also asked by many people when they attend the Gita course. Sometimes people ask this question, but in the mood of challenging. Because they ask so many questions, and they find such convincing answers for all the questions, and then finally they think, okay, I have found one question which you cannot answer. Tell me that how the jiva fell down. If you are saying that once you go back to the spiritual world, one can never return, but then how did he come down to this material world? So many times people ask that question. Parishit Maharaj is also asking the question, but the difference between the common people and Parishit Maharaj is, common people ask this question in the mood of challenging. Oh, I have found one question which can actually, which can justify my not following Krishna consciousness. But Parishit Maharaj is asking this question after putting complete faith in Shukadeva Goswami, not in the mood of challenging. So this is actually, these are the two qualities. Here in this verse, actually Vasudeva is exhibiting this quality that of contemplation about, he's actually thinking about what should I do now. He's trying to think with his intelligence to the best ability about how to save Devaki. And later, Vasudeva is also exhibiting another quality of being faithfulness. Vasudeva is not only exhibiting this quality of being thoughtful, but he's also exhibiting the quality of being faithful when Krishna took birth. Krishna told Vasudeva that you must actually carry me to Mathura. So that time actually Vasudeva did not use his intelligence. Because that time he could have used the intelligence, because like Vasudeva was being bound by the chains, and all the walls in the, all the doors in the prison house were actually shut, and it was raining heavily. So at that time the baby Krishna is saying that you please carry me to Mathura. So if he had used his intelligence, there is absolutely no way that you can imagine how a person can carry the baby and that condition to Mathura. So that time Vasudeva actually did not use his intelligence, but Vasudeva actually put full faith in the words of Krishna, and then when he took Krishna, immediately all the chains actually opened and all the doors opened, and he could actually take Krishna to Mathura. So here we see that is why, in fact, in that particular verse also, Vasudeva is addressed by the same word, Shauri. Like I heard, like when Gauranga Prabhu was giving the lecture, that where the word Shauri means brave. That means Vasudeva is called as brave because he did not hesitate to follow the instructions of Krishna. That he actually put complete faith in the words of Krishna. So here we see that Vasudeva is exhibiting both the qualities of being thoughtful and also faithful. And we can also compare, if you compare Vasudev with another devotee who comes in the first canto, in the first canto, the seventh chapter, it is explained that when Ashwatthama killed all the five sleeping sons of Pandavas, then Arjuna actually goes after Ashwatthama, and then he actually binds Ashwatthama with the ropes, and then he brings Ashwatthama in front of Draupadi. So as soon as Ashwatthama was brought in front of Draupadi, it is explained, Vama Swabhava Kripaya Nanamacha, that Draupadi offered her respects to Ashwatthama out of her mild and gentle nature. So here we see, if we see Ashwatthama, Draupadi and Vasudev, externally it appears that Draupadi is actually exhibiting greater quality than Vasudev. Externally it appears that Draupadi is glorious than Vasudev. In the sense, of course, both are pure devotees, but from the purpose of Srila Prabhupada, we can see that in one sense, Draupadi, she is offering respects to Ashwatthama, who has already killed her sons. And here, Vasudev, it is explained, Pujayam Asa Bahumana Praharshanam. Vasudev is actually praising, is praising Kamsa with great respect. In order to tell Kamsa, you please take my words that I will actually give all my sons to you, and you can do whatever you want, you can kill my sons. So externally it appears that Vasudev is actually cruel to his sons by actually by proposing Kamsa that I am going to give my sons in the future. And it appears that Draupadi is so merciful and so tolerant. It's explained that Draupadi is actually offering respects to Ashwatthama, who has already killed her sons. But then it is explained that Vama Swabhava, out of her mild and gentle nature. So there Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, a good man or woman accepts anything very easily, but a man of average intelligence will not actually do so. He does not accept anything without discriminating. In fact, he says, we should not actually give up our reason and discriminatory power in order to be gentle and mild. And we should not follow in the footsteps of Draupadi and be gentle and thereby accept that which is not genuine. So there Draupadi actually respected Ashwatthama without actually proper contemplation. But here Vasudev is actually externally, it appears that Vasudev is actually cruel to his sons, but he is actually doing that after contemplating properly. So this is one thing we must understand. And actually, out of these two qualities, faithful and being thoughtful, the quality of being faithful is actually more difficult than being thoughtful. Because sometimes we may use our intelligence, but if we use our intelligence, sometimes, when Krishna ordered Vasudev, if he had used his intelligence, there is no way that he can actually execute that order. So sometimes, if we use our intelligence too much, then we may not be able to follow the orders of superiors. So quality of being faithful is actually greater than quality of being thoughtful. So that is why in the 12th chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, Mayeva mana adatsva, mayi buddhim niveshaya. He says, first, you fix your mind on me, and then fix your intelligence on me. So Vishnu Chakur Thakur, when he gives purport on this verses, he says, Krishna is first talking about three kinds of internal bhakti. The topmost of internal bhakti is fixing the mind on Krishna. And the second level is fixing the intelligence on Krishna. So fixing the mind on Krishna is actually greater than fixing the intelligence on Krishna. Because sometimes when you use your intelligence, it may be actually, sometimes it may be difficult to execute the order, but at that time, we have to actually, we have to fix the mind and Krishna, which is actually more difficult. So Vasudeva is actually exhibited both these qualities. And in the next verse, it's explained that Srila Prabhupada says that Vasudeva, he was actually, internally he was full of anxiety, but he actually externally smiled. He did not show his anxiety. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, sometimes one must act duplicitously in a dangerous position as Vasudeva did to save his wife. So actually Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the first quality of a devotee is simplicity. And simplicity means without duplicity, being straightforward in one's dealings. In fact, I think Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he gave instructions to, Sanatana Goswami or Rupa Goswami, when he was talking about the Bhakti Lata beach, he says, when the Bhakti Lata beach, when the seed of devotional service is sown in the heart of a devotee, one must water that Bhakti Lata beach very carefully with the process of Shravanam and Kirtanam. But along with that, one must be very careful about the weeds that grow along with the seed of, along with the Bhakti Lata beach. And then he says that there may be many unwanted creepers which grow along with the creeper of pure devotional service. And then he says, how do we identify such creepers of pure devotional service? In fact, he says that such creepers of pure devotional service, that such weeds are, they may look exactly like the seed of pure devotional service, and they may be of exact same size, same color, and they will be in the same, they will be mingled with the seed of pure devotional service. Like suppose if it is of the different size, then you can easily distinguish the weeds. Or if it is of different color, you can easily distinguish. Or if, at least if the weeds are separately growing and the seeds, the pure devotional service are growing separately, then you can easily distinguish. But the weeds are growing along with the seed and they are of the same size and same color. And then he says, in order to identify the weeds, he says, such unwanted weeds are unlimited in number, but they can be broadly, they can be classified broadly in five categories. And one of the categories, he says, is kutinati nishiddha achar. Kutinati means diplomatic behavior. That one of the unwanted weed which grow along with the seed of pure devotional service is diplomatic behavior. So diplomatic behavior, so there Srila Prabhupada writes in the purport, diplomatic behavior, it cannot actually satisfy the soul. And then he says, what to speak of satisfying the soul, it cannot satisfy even the mind or the body. And then he says, the culprit is always suspicious, therefore our dealing should always be straightforward and approved by the Vedas. So here, actually, Srila Prabhupada is condemning diplomatic behavior. But in this purport, Srila Prabhupada says that sometimes one must act duplicitously because the material world is very complicated. Because here it says that this indicates that one may act duplicitously for the purpose of saving Krishna and his interests. In fact, in another purport in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, when Ramananda Rai was trying to pacify Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so that Mahaprabhu could actually give his mercy to Pratapa Rudra Maharaj, that Srila Prabhupada says, diplomacy engaged, used in the service of the Lord is a form of devotional service. So basically, we can see that there are so many qualities which a devotee is supposed to exhibit, like simplicity, humility, etc. But the primary quality is that he's actually should be engaged in unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. In fact, in the Narada Bhakti Sutra, Narada Muni says, Ishvarasya abhimani dvashitva dainya priyatvacha. He says, Lord dislikes the proud person and he is pleased with the humble. So there, I think Satswarup Maharaj is writing this commentary, Srila Prabhupada Satswarup Maharaj. He says that humility is actually pleasing to Krishna. So therefore the devotee is humble. And then he says, if Krishna likes the quality of being pride, then a devotee will also show pride. So basically the underlying principle is, what actually pleases Krishna, what will actually help us to serve Krishna's interest. So for that, suppose if a person has to be proud, or if a person has to be act duplicitously, then a devotee will act duplicitously, or if a devotee may act proud. So that's, Satswarup Maharaj writes in the purport. In fact, sometimes some devotees of Krishna out in the influence of Yoga Maya, they show transcendental pride, and they would actually climb on the back of Krishna, and then they would say that, like, what kind of a big man are you? They would say to Krishna. So because they knew that actually it would please Krishna, that is why they actually show the transcendental pride. So basically the point is that the essence of all the qualities is, like, if devotee exhibits certain qualities in order to please Krishna. If something is not pleasing to Krishna, then he will not exhibit that quality. So that is the essence of bhakti yoga, is actually to please Krishna. That's why the primary characteristics of devotional services, the devotional service is performed to Krishna, and it is performed in a favorable mood. So that's why bhakti yoga is actually the essence of Bhagavad Gita. The Bhagavad Gita is explained that the pure devotional service is explained in the middle 6 chapters. So why bhakti yoga, pure devotional service, explained in the middle 6 chapters? Why bhakti yoga is placed in the middle? Because of its confidential nature. So when it is placed in the middle, it is not so obvious. It is not easily visible. So when you want something to be confidential, you will keep it secret. That is why bhakti yoga is explained in the middle 6 chapters. And the second reason is, because by placing bhakti yoga in the middle, because it is superior to the other processes, it actually gives life to the first 6 chapters and the next 6 chapters. If bhakti yoga were placed in the first 6 chapters, then only the second 6 chapters would be in contact with the first 6 chapters. So only the second 6 chapters would get life, not the third 6 chapters. And if bhakti yoga were placed in the last 6 chapters, only the second 6 chapters would get life, but not the first 6 chapters. So because of the superior nature of bhakti yoga, to give life to the other things which comes in contact with it, so that's why bhakti yoga is placed in the middle. And then another reason is, bhakti yoga is very rare. When something is very rare, it has to be protected. So that's why bhakti yoga is placed in the middle, so that it is protected by the first 6 chapters and the second and the last 6 chapters. And bhakti yoga, devotional service, is the king among all the processes. So when a king goes, or when a prime minister goes, like before him, some 20 cars would go, and after him another 20 cars would go. So that's why, like, bhakti yoga is the king. That's why, like, the first 6 chapters and the last 6 chapters are like the entourage which actually go along with the king. So basically the point is that when a person is doing something for the pleasure of Krishna, so in that process, even if he exhibits some qualities which is not supposed to exhibit, that those qualities become spiritualized. In fact, this verse in the very nice verse in the 4th chapter of the Gita, Krishna says, Brahmarpanam Brahmahavir Brahmagnav Brahmana Hutam Brahmaiva Tenakam Gantavyam Brahma Karma Samadhina. Krishna says that when a person is sacrificing something for Krishna, then all the things which are used in the sacrifice, they are actually of the same nature. He says, the oblation which is offered in the sacrifice, and the ladle which is used in the used in the sacrifice, and the fire, and the person, all are of the same spiritual nature of Brahman. And ultimately the person also attains Brahman. He attains Krishna. So basically this is a very important verse. Like I was hearing, like one devotee was explaining this verse. He was saying, when something is used in the service of Krishna, then anything which is connected to the service, everything becomes spiritualized. Like just like we have, like devotees go on, like every year the Radha Gopinath temple takes the devotees on a pilgrimage to Vrindavan, Mayapur, etc. But the preparation for that starts much before. Like in order to register the devotees, like some devotees like Damodar Chaitanya Prabhu and all, like they are working so hard to write programs in C, C++, Java, etc. Because externally it appears like a person is like using his intelligence to write some software, but because it is connected to Krishna, so even that activity becomes spiritualized. Even whatever things which are utilized in that service, they also become spiritualized. Just like suppose a person is worshipping the deities, one may directly dress the deities, one may put garland on the deities, and others may make the garlands, and others may bring flowers. And in order for these devotees to do these services, other devotees are being engaged in other services. So because other devotees are doing other services, so that is why like some people are able to worship the deities. Or somebody is reading Srila Prabhupada's books. But in one sense, like a person is able to read Srila Prabhupada's books because so many other devotees are busy doing other services. That is why we are getting time to read Srila Prabhupada's books. So because of that, we see that because all the devotee is connected with the whole community, because a devotee is connected with the process of devotional service, although somebody may be engaged in like maybe collecting shoes, but because he is collecting shoes, like so many others are able to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, or somebody is able to speak Srimad Bhagavatam. But because he is connected with the whole process of hearing and chanting, so he is also actually, his service, although externally it appears menial, it is actually the same spiritual nature. That is why, that is the purport, that is the meaning of this particular verse, that whatever is used in the service, everything becomes spiritualized. In fact, like one devotee was giving the example, that just like, suppose the train is going, like some bogie is first bogie, some bogie is 20th bogie. But even the 20th bogie is actually going in the same speed as the first bogie, because 20th bogie is connected with the engine. So similarly, somebody may be directly serving the deities, or somebody may be doing some other service which may externally appear, externally it may appear is not connected to Krishna, but because externally he is in the 20th bogie, but he is actually going in the same speed as the person who is in the first bogie. And when the train reaches a destination, all the people actually get down simultaneously. So basically, the point is that like anything which is used, anybody who is actually connected to the process of devotional service, if the consciousness is proper, that actually if he is doing only for the pleasure of Krishna, then it is actually of the same spiritual nature. In fact, like Gopinath Chandra was giving this example, like just like in mathematics, like we have this infinity. Like you can't compare infinity with another infinity. So similarly, when two people are engaged in the service only for the pleasure of Krishna, somebody may be directly engaged in the service, somebody may be doing some other service, which may appear to be not directly engaged, but if he's actually doing that only for the pleasure of Krishna, both are actually the same spiritual nature. So here, Vasudev is actually acting duplicitously, because he is doing only for the purpose of saving Krishna and protecting Krishna's interest, it is actually it is actually not the duplicity which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but it is actually of the completely on the spiritual platform. But one must also note the point that sometimes one might actually justify one's wrong, like these qualities like duplicity or violence, by saying that actually I'm doing for the service of Krishna. So how do we understand that whether a person is doing, how do we understand whether we are actually engaged only for the pleasure of Krishna, or we are actually justifying our behavior in the mode of passion by saying that actually I am doing for the service of the Lord. So there is like one interesting purport, especially for me was very inspiring. I would just like to read this purport. It's explained in the third canto. When Lord Brahma was creating, he actually created, he had to create different kinds of ignorance. Like he created nascent engagements like self-deception, the sense of death, anger after frustration, the sense of false ownership, and the illusory bodily conception. So he had to create different kinds of ignorance in order to put the conditioned souls under the influence of the external energy of Krishna. So when the, why actually it is required? Because when the living entity, Prabhupada writes in the purport, when the living entity prefers to misuse his intelligence and glide down from nescience, then the all-merciful Lord first tries to protect the living entity from the trap. When a person wants to enjoy independently from Krishna, then the Supreme Lord tries to protect the living entity from falling down. But when the living entity is very adamant in his attempt to enjoy independently from Krishna, then the Lord actually gives him a chance to that living entity to see whether he is happy in that situation. Sometimes when a person is like very adamant, when he is determined to enjoy independently from Krishna, then he can actually, he will come to the conclusion of surrendering to Krishna unless he experiences so many sufferings. So he has to experience sufferings. So for that, the living entity has to be put in the, under this conditions of ignorance. So Lord Brahma, being a faithful servant of the Supreme Lord, he actually created these five kinds of ignorance. But after creating this five kinds of ignorance, he is not happy in doing so, because a devotee of the Lord does not like to see anyone falling down from his real position. So he is not happy in doing that. So that is why after doing this creation, then he feels bad. And then he actually, he wants to purify himself, and then he starts meditating on the Supreme Lord. So basically the point is, a genuine devotee of the Lord, sometimes he may exhibit this quality of acting duplicitously, or he may exhibit this quality of apparently acting violent towards others. But on other times, he will consistently exhibit these good qualities of being non-violent, of being simple and humble. So we have to, genuine devotees, only sometimes they will exhibit these qualities, but other times they will actually show this Vaishnava behavior. But on the other hand, when we try to justify our behavior, we may actually consistently exhibit these bad qualities, and we may actually justify that, oh, actually I'm doing this for the pleasure of Krishna. So we must understand that these qualities are exhibited by the devotees only at certain times, but other times consistently it exhibit good qualities. Another thing is that when a person is actually doing everything only for the pleasure of Krishna, ultimately it will actually only result in auspiciousness for everyone concerned. Like for example, Narada Muni, in fact when after the first child was born, Vasudeva actually went to hand over the first child to Kamsa. But Kamsa said, okay, I will get trouble only from the eighth child, not from the first child. So he sent Vasudeva back. But then Narada Muni came and instigated Kamsa, anybody can be the eighth child. And he told that lotus, anybody can be the eighth, anything can be the eighth petal. So it appears that Narada Muni is instigating Kamsa to kill the commit more violence. But actually, Narada Muni was actually wanted to hasten the appearance of Krishna. So he was, because he was doing that only for the purpose of the hastening the appearance of Krishna, ultimately it actually resulted in good. Because His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was explaining that when later, when Krishna went to Mathura, when Devaki actually asked Krishna that, "I want to see the six children who are killed by Kamsa." So that time Krishna immediately brought back the six children who were killed by Kamsa. And then Devaki, out of her motherly affection, she started feeding the six children her breast milk. So then Radhanath Maharaj was saying that those six children, they were actually taking the milk from Mother Yashoda. That is actually the Mahaprasad of Krishna. Because Krishna first drank the milk from Mother Yashoda. So now later, when the six children drank, so that became the Mahaprasad of Krishna. So by drinking the Mahaprasad of Krishna, they became delivered. So if Kamsa had not killed the six children, then Devaki would have fed them her breast milk. So they would not actually have got the Mahaprasad of Krishna. So because externally it appears like Narada Muni instigated Kamsa to actually kill the six children, but because he was doing only for the purpose of pleasing Krishna, to hasten the appearance of Krishna, it ultimately resulted in auspiciousness for everyone, because even though six children were delivered, because they got to drink the Mahaprasad of Krishna. And thirdly, that I'll just stop with a few sentences. Another thing is, if a person is doing only for the purpose of pleasing Krishna, then ultimately, immediately, it may not be pleasing to others, but in the long run, it will be actually pleasing to all the devotees. Like Vritrasura's behavior was, it was not appreciated by the demigods. It was displeasing to the demigods. But in the long run, Vritrasura has glorified that he is glorified as that Srimad Bhagavatam is that Purana in which the Vritrasura story is there. So in the long run, Vritrasura is glorified in such a glorious way that it is explained that Srimad Bhagavatam is that scripture in which the story of Vritrasura is found. And so in this way we see that in the long run it should be pleasing to the devotees. So one has to be actually see that if other devotees are not pleasing, then one has to actually introspect whether I'm actually doing for the pleasure of Krishna, or is it in the mode of passion? And finally, I just want to speak something about Rupa Goswami, because today is the disappearance of Srila Rupa Goswami. So it's explained in the Bhakti Rasam Sindhu, one of the beginning verses. Rupa Goswami actually, starting Bhakti Rasam Sindhu, he says that may this ocean of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, may this ocean of Bhakti Rasa, he says that may Sanatan Goswami feel transcendental pleasure by residing in this ocean of Bhakti Rasa. And may he feel pleasure by residing this ocean and render devotional service to Radha and Krishna. So here we see the mood of Rupa Goswami is that he is actually writing this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu in order to please just one person, Sanatan Goswami. He says that may Sanatan Goswami, may this Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu may act as a recreation hall for Sanatan Goswami. So, this is actually the mood of a devotee. When he tries to preach, when the devotee is conscious, the predominant consciousness of a devotee is actually the servant of the superiors, then he can actually effectively preach. Rupa Goswami is writing this scripture, but his predominant consciousness is that it is for the pleasure of Sanatan Goswami. This quality is exhibited in such a wonderful way by Prithu Maharaj. If you see this, instructions by Prithu Maharaj, that chapter and the next chapter, Prithu Maharaj meeting with the four Kumaras. So when Prithu Maharaj, before actually begins to give his instruction to the citizens, he says that He's actually giving the instructions in a very reluctant way. He's actually asking the permission of the sages and the superiors present in the assembly. But after giving the instruction, that in the same assembly, the four Kumaras arrive. So when he sees the four Kumaras, it's explained, just like a conditioned soul who'd be very spontaneously attracted towards the sense objects, Prithu Maharaj spontaneously became attracted to four Kumaras, and he went to the four Kumaras and he actually presented himself as a person who is actually a conditioned soul under the influence of the three modes of nature. And he actually heard the same instructions which he actually from the four Kumaras, which he actually gave to the citizens. So it shows that Prithu Maharaj's predominant consciousness is that he is actually the servant of the superiors than being the instructor. So that is actually the quality exhibited by Rupa Goswami. And finally, and a few verses later, Rupa Goswami says, but this work, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is actually for the joy of the whole world, for the joy of the friends, for the joy of my friends. Rupa Goswami is saying that, but this work, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, is also for the benefit of the whole world. It will benefit the whole world. So basically the point is that when a person actually is pleasing, trying to do something for the pleasure of Krishna, then that love for Krishna automatically expands into love for the all the living entities. Just like before the marriage, before a man and woman gets married, he has like different number of relationships. But immediately after the marriage, he increases so many relatives. Just because of the connection with the one person, he immediately actually has relation with so many people who are related to that particular person. So similarly, when a person tries to develop love for Krishna, the representative of Krishna, because of that love for that one person, he automatically develops love with, develop affection towards the whole world. That is why Rupa Goswami initially says, I'm doing this only for the pleasure of Sanatana Goswami. But that love for the Sanatana Goswami expands, and then he says, it is for the benefit of the whole world. That love for the Guru actually expands into the love for the whole world. So this is the quality of Rupa Goswami. I'll stop here, because actually I didn't intend to go beyond, but so I beg forgiveness if I had spoken something in an instructive tone. Grantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sorry.